Welcome to Prosperity Talk with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business.
Welcome to Prosperity Talk. This is P. Christopher Music, the financial prosperity coach. I'd like to congratulate you for taking steps on the route to financial prosperity by listening to this show. You know, as the financial prosperity coach, it's my job to align correct solutions to help you improve your overall financial experience, and that's why I produce this podcast every month. I've spent countless hours researching the basic laws of prosperity that have been repeated time and time again by the sagest minds in history, and I've summarized them for you in a body of knowledge I call the Golden Route, 21 Principles of Financial Prosperity. I created this show so that you can learn these fundamental laws as they apply to private practice professionals to help you achieve real financial prosperity in your household and your business while you live your art. With this show, I've decided it's my mission to bring you amazing content by interviewing innovators and experts that are truly rock stars at what they do. These professionals will share their experience and knowledge as it relates to the 21 principles of financial prosperity so you can apply them within today's economic and financial realities. So today we'll be discussing the Golden Route principle, seek advice from those qualified to give it. And I have a very special guest who will be sharing his advice based on research from his new book, The Provider's Guide to Leveraging Obamacare. But first, let me give you my perspective on this vital prosperity principle. Seeking advice from those qualified to give it is simply more than looking for letters after someone's name or titles or something like that. It really comes down to getting results. You know, everyone has an opinion, but we're looking at what are they actually getting done. So today I'd like to introduce you to my special guest. He graduated from Ohio State University with a bachelor's degree in physical therapy and went on to earn his master's in health science from the Krannert School of Physical Therapy, University of Indianapolis, and has an advanced degree in manual therapy. He has been a physical therapist for the last 29 years and in private practice for 10 of them. He also taught at two universities and has delivered continuing education seminars to physical therapists throughout the country. He is the president and co-founder of Measurable Solutions, a business consulting and training firm engaged in all areas of business management. Welcome to Prosperity Talk, Sean Kirk.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And what I'd like to do today, Sean, is spend a little time interviewing you on this prosperity principle of seeking advice from those qualified to give it. So based on this book, Leveraging Obamacare, I'd like to start out by having you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, how you got started, and why you did the shift from being a private practice owner to running a successful executive training company helping other practice owners.
Well, thank you. Actually, I started out in private practice struggling quite a bit, and most of the advice I was getting was not very good advice, and I was getting advice from people that were not successful, but I was always willing to listen. So I began a search for effective promotion, marketing, management data, and sought out people who knew how to apply it, and then began to apply it within my own practice, and we grew by ninefold. I had a team that was eventually running my company, and I was having a lot of free time. So I started sneaking out in the afternoons with patients who owned businesses, helping them run their business just for something to do. One day I came home and said, honey, I think I'm going to sell the practice. My wife says, great. What are you going to do? And I said, well, I think I'm going to start a consulting company because I like helping people. So I shifted from being a private practitioner at one time struggling to successful by seeking out and finding true data and applying it. See, there's a difference between knowing something and applying something.
Sure. There's
a lot of people who know about things, as you know, and there's people who know how to apply it. So I just applied it and started growing my practice. We started working with the healthcare providers, and now we have clients all over the United States and Canada, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico. We have online training clients as far away as the UK and Australia. And we train practice owners in the craft of running a practice and never about patient care.
Well, good. So what made you write your book, The Provider's Guide to Leveraging Obamacare?
To handle fear. Fear is an amazing thing. You know, you see people just completely paralyzed with the what-ifs of of the world, and especially where you have a lot of governmental regulation, you have a lot of uncertainty. And so I started noticing more and more with clients as they were having higher copays and higher deductibles, and patients were kind of disappearing off the schedule, and they were all the changes that were already going on in healthcare prior to Obamacare was really becoming kind of striking because we keep statistics on all of our clients. So then I recognized that although there were so many people, I was studying Obamacare, but my clients weren't. They were like afraid of it and overwhelmed by it. And I thought, well, you know, I'm fairly good at seeking out what works and what doesn't work. So I started researching that data myself and found that the majority of my clients didn't understand anything that I was talking about, yet I was not in private practice and they were. So I decided I needed to do something about it, and that's what led to the book.
Well, great. You know, there's a lot of information available online about the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as most people know it. Mm-hmm. But you give quite a bit about it also in your book. Now, why did you do that?
Well, you know, truthfully, there is a lot of information about Obamacare online. There's so many books that's written about it. And, you know, but there are things that I wanted to look at within my book. A lot of the books were written from the point of view of how this will affect you as an employer. I really wanted to look at it as how would it affect you as a healthcare provider. So the bill itself is 2,700 pages long, you know, and there's probably members of Congress who never even looked at it or read it in its entirety, bits and pieces, if you will. But what I did with my book is not only to include kind of a rollout of the Obamacare timeline, but I put the most important aspects of Obamacare into perspective by simply outlining some of the most important issues to a practice owner and how these key issues will actually impact their practice. I then, you know, begin to tell the practice owners how they can prepare or prevent them from actually putting them out of business. Now, so here's one main point. You know, I have to drive into the skulls of my clients, and I've been doing this for over 15 years, but most recently I've had to step it up quite a bit. And that is, as an out-of-pocket expense for care increases, you will find patients who will self-regulate their care. So that's why successful healthcare providers now, and especially in the future, must not only become more competent, but far better at selling their services.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, selling is such a huge part of healthcare services, and yet most practitioners will avoid the word, let alone the concept of trying to be a salesperson.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what are the main things practice owners need to be concerned about?
Well, you know, it's probably the same thing practice owners always needed to be concerned about. You know, when you add all the things that are going on, but I kind of broke them down into five main things. And no matter what happens in healthcare, whether it's Obamacare or maybe Clinton Care in the future or whoever else is the new president or political regime that we have to be under, there's going to be five truths. And those five truths are simply, one, as a provider, you're going to be paid less per visit due to lowering patient visit reimbursement rates. And overall, higher copays and deductibles borne onto the patients. The patients will be paying more, number two, because of these higher deductibles in their new healthcare plans. And when you raise the deductible, patients will self-regulate their care. So ultimately, number three, you have to become very good at selling your services to secure the stronger plan of care commitments, since your patients are now, you know, going to have to pay more out of pocket for their care. So, you know, if somebody has a $5,000 deductible and they walk in for their treatment and their total treatment program costs $2,000, it's basically a cash-based system. So clinicians and practice owners who are not good at sales will actually lose those patients to those practices who are. So you have to make up the difference with the chances of self-regulating patients by an increased volume of new patients is my point number four. And number five, you know, the clinicians and staff need to become more productive and more efficient. Downtime is very costly, but it will be more costly in the future. So those are the five key things that I think most practices need to be paying attention to.
You know, it seems like you're talking about getting management systems in the practice, getting production up per employee, and actually learning sales and marketing as a healthcare professional. Can you comment on that?
Well, yeah, I actually can. You know, I have been doing this for quite a while, helping practices. I've been in and out of over 110 practices over the years, and you see, like, super competent clinicians who lack some basic fundamentals, and You know, when we have a healthcare business that's built around insurance, we get lazy and we let the insurance do the selling. We have good coverage, so we should get that done. Well, pretty soon it's going to be, you have bad coverage and you'll have bad coverage everywhere you go. So the clinician who is good at what they do but can't sell is still broke. And something needs to be done about that. There's all aspects of the business, but particularly conviction and the value of your services is vitally important. So that's what we really try to ding in, so to speak, with our clients.
Well, yeah, I guess it comes down to, you know, cost is only an issue when value is a mystery.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's switch gears here a little bit, and let's talk about this this employee mandate. What is it, and how does that affect business owners?
The employer mandate within Obamacare is basically a requirement that all businesses with over 50 full-time employees or full-time equivalent employees will provide health insurance for their employees or pay a fine known as the employer shared responsibility payment on their tax return. Now, this was originally set up in 2014, and you know, as you know, there's a lot of confusion within Obamacare itself, and it's been delayed till 2015 or perhaps 2016 as far as mandating insurance coverage. Now, with small businesses with 50 to 99 full-time equivalent employees, they'll need to start insuring workers by 2016. That's what's been mandated. Those with 100 or more will need to start providing health benefits to at least 70% of their FTEs by 2015, by 95% by 2016. So there's all kinds of healthcare credits been retroactively available for small businesses with less than 25 full-time equivalents, and that's actually existed since 2010. So that's where your financial advisor and your accountant and others could probably steer you in some of those directions. Now, the administration, unfortunately, has redefined what we consider a full-time employee to be through the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Now, it used to be forever. We always considered a full-time equivalent employee to be a 40-hour employee. Now, it's changed. Now, it's actually a 30-hour employee is considered full-time per Obamacare. So if you add up the total number of hours and divide by 30, that will give you your full-time equivalent, which will be significantly higher than, well, at least 25% higher of what, than what 40 employees would be. So some employers that may be at 38 employees were actually at 50 employees under Obamacare as far as needing to insure.
Well, fascinating. Now, how many practices would be affected by that in your experience?
Well, I would say to a large degree in terms of the 50 mandate, I don't consider a tremendous amount of private practitioners are in that category. It's probably as low as maybe 10% of private practitioners. Now, the corporate giants and those out there, sure, of course, they would be affected, and they're already providing healthcare coverage for their employees. But where this becomes an issue is when the employee will have an offer from a larger, more established corporate or larger private practice that includes coverage. And now if you're a smaller practice and you do not include coverage, you're going to probably lose that employee. So there are some things that you can do, such as through the marketplace, where you can have the employee set up an account or set up his own insurance within there and then set up a health reimbursement account to offset that expense so that he can have coverage that's quality coverage under Obamacare without having to be caught up in the must of insuring everyone, particularly if you're small. So, yeah, I think in the main, there's definitely some changes happening and it'll work its way down. But for the typical private practice owner, I think it's somewhat business as usual.
Well, okay. So now you mentioned the very beginning of your book that you found that many business owners are taking a wait-and-see, head-in-the-sand approach to Obamacare. Is that still the case today?
Gosh, absolutely. You know, I think in the small business world, like I was mentioning, is like insurance impact of providing that for your employees is probably not going to be all that dramatically different, although the price could go up. But one thing that is going to be dramatically different is you're going to flood the market with so many more people, which you would consider would drive a lot more patients into your practice. But when you add on top of these people signing up for plans with $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 deductibles, they're not going to walk in as readily as a $500 deductible or $1,000 deductible plan they may have had the year prior. So, but there's a lot of confusion. So what tends to happen is when there's a lot of confusion on any subject, everything seems to be moving around you, but you yourself are stuck and you'll stand still because you're in a confusion. So year after year, providers are hit with more red tape, insurance companies are playing doctor, and it seems that more and more of your time is spent documenting what you're supposed to be doing with your patients and actually doing something for your patient. So the freight train is coming. For many practitioners, their patients' deductibles alone will be so high that they'll really be a cash-based business under the guise of insurance anyway. For the practitioners listening, this is what I always tell them. If you don't mind, I would like to share that with this group. Okay?
Of course.
So imagine, So imagine that here's what I'd like you to imagine. Walk into your organization tomorrow with the idea that every new patient from now on will have a $5,000 deductible. I bet that your organization would change rapidly. My advice to you is to start thinking that way now and acting as though it's that way already. And when it does happen, you will not only still be standing, but thriving, and quite possibly buying out practices of the guys who had failed to do so. So that's how I feel about the book and the wait-and-see attitude of so many other private practitioners out there. Not my clients, but other guys.
Well, yeah, and I think you're spot on to get people to visualize what the future is going to be like. I think we get too caught up in the present to recognize the change is coming. You know, so in a nutshell, what should business owners really do now?
Well, I would say, you know, from my perspective is, you know, you have to focus on your business. You have to focus on the key metrics of running your business. So, you know, one thing I would say is to get my book. It's available on Amazon. There's an e-version, e-book version. Get my book, because in my book I have strategies, of course, but I also have the key metrics to keep in a practice. So too often people are opening up 2, 3, and 4 offices when really they don't have enough volume in one office to cover to justify opening a second, let alone a fourth. So by looking at the key metrics and really knowing how to manage with those, that would be make a huge difference. One of the things that we do, Christopher, is we really look for where is lost income in a practice. Lost income we define as the money that you could have made but you didn't. So everything from poor schedule book control, clinicians actually adjusting the plan of care based on the patient's out-of-pocket versus what they think they should do that's right and just for getting the patient well, these types of things will adversely impact the practice owner. So my advice, first of all, would be just to get the book. And as you go through it, you're going to get the viewpoint from a private practice owner to a private practice owner. And you're also going to get, like, these are some simple strategies that you can do. And don't get caught up in the confusion. Just put your head down and push through these 5 points I mentioned earlier. And then another thing I'd recommend is if we have a test that we evaluate many areas of a practice, and it's called the Practice Viability Index, and we look at several different areas of the company. And so if a person would go to practiceviability.com, they could fill it out. We can look at all the different areas, because practices have been losing money long before Obamacare. It's just going to be more prevalent today. So I have clients left and right buying people out because people are scared. I really love private practice. I love private practitioners. It bothers me that people could just learn some simple tools, shift things around slightly, and create a monster success, but they're afraid and they're paralyzed. So, you know, they could pick up the phone, they could call. Our number is 1-800-491-2828. They could email me at Sean, S-H-A-U-N, Kirk, K-I-R-K, at measurablesolutions.com. Ask me questions. I'll be happy to answer them. That's what I think they should do.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I've seen a copy of your book here, and I've seen that Practice Viability Index.
Sure.
Having intimate knowledge of it, and sure, it does have quite an effect on helping a practice owner really dig in and see what's really happening with their practice as far as the operations. So I recommend anybody listening to this to go and take that questionnaire at practiceviability.com. I think that's going to be something that will be a tremendous area of insight into how to create more profit and more income into your life through your practice. So, Sean, thanks so much for being here. That's all we have time for today. And really want to appreciate your insight and to remind listeners here to go to Amazon.com, is it, Sean?
Yes, Amazon.com and The Provider's Guide to Leveraging Obamacare.
By Sean Kirk. Great. Well, thanks so much, Sean, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christopher, and thank you for all that you do to help so many people.
Well, thanks so much.
You bet.
Folks, our financial experiences, whether a good experience or a bad one, really comes down to one simple element, and that is planning. You see, financial planning is a very misunderstood concept. In actuality, it's really very simple. It's all about time and money. We spend the majority of our effort turning time into money. That's with our job, our profession, our career, our practice. But to what end? Have you considered what result you're actually working to achieve? You know, correct financial planning allows us to reverse the sequence from spending time making money and allows us to convert that money into time. Isn't that what it's all about anyway? I think it's too important to remember that prosperity is not only about financial security. In fact, the dictionary definition defines prosperity as a successful, flourishing, or thriving condition, which obviously can be carried out in all areas of your life. What I want you to do is really take action on this Obamacare issue. It's something that's not going to go away. It is something that, as a practitioner, even as a patient, we have to confront and handle the changes that are coming down the line as far as our own healthcare decisions and how it's going to impact us economically. Of course, we're going to have to learn how to be more effective at our work and more efficient so that we can hang on to more of that money that belongs to us. So I want you to sit down and try to figure out exactly what you can do to get trained on what Obamacare is, pick up Sean's book, and really spend time learning about what your strategy is going to be, both as a patient and, more importantly, as a private practice practitioner, to gain cause over this area. The financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator of how well you have understood and applied these basic principles of financial prosperity. It is my hope that you use this wisdom to achieve what is most important to you. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Prosperity Talk. Please visit my podcast channel at www.financialprosperitytalk.com to download previous episodes of this podcast. I also want to invite you to connect with me on all my social media channels as Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You can also find a link to all my social media on my website at www.pchristophermusic.com and learn more about the Golden Route 21 Principles of Financial Prosperity there as well. I invite you to follow me and have a discourse with me so you too can have a very successful, positive financial experience while you live your art.
You've been listening to Prosperity Talk with the Financial Prosperity Coach, Christopher Music. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.